Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday. We get so many compliments on the music here, and Rachel and Andrew and I were just talking about it. I think we're going to put together a little dealy where you guys can send in your 16-song playlist, and we'll feature your music and give you credit for it on the show.
Yeah.
We thought about having a country day. We never play country, and I'm not a big country guy.
No.
Ron just made a face like he needed to poop. And
you could do Chris Stapleton. Non-country people like Chris
We could
Stapleton.
Do stuff. Yeah, we could find some stuff. Of all the country I like, it's mostly old. Like, old outlaw country.
Like Johnny Cash.
Yeah, yeah. Merle Haggard, stuff like that. Stuff I grew up listening to on, like, Hee Haw.
Yeah.
I feel like there are a total of 10 country bangers all time. 10.
Not counting Chris Stapleton?
Not counting Chris Stapleton. Yeah.
Why does he
I love that. I'll tell you what, I love that Fishing in the Dark
Southern
song.
Rock
That's a great one.
Yeah, like, I think when most people think country now, it's like, I say now, but even like the 90s into the 2000s with like the Kenny Chesney and the Luke something.
Combs?
There's like Zacks and
there's
Lukes.
There's a bunch of
Lukes. There's a bunch of Zacks. Zacks.
All I know is there's a bunch of Zacks and
there's
Lukes.
A Keith. I heard there's a Jelly Roll. There is a Jelly Roll.
What I don't like about it is that, and maybe it's just like this for all music. I should know being a musician, but you can take a rock song or a pop song and just use a twangy Fender Telecaster and sing like you're from the South, even though you're from Michigan, and that makes it country. I don't like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, and you know what? I just want to say this for my country music distaste. It's not for lack of trying, because I have listened to a lot of it. A lot of it. Like, I've gone to they do the country shows at Ballpark Village. My friends go, so I go. I've been to a lot of country shows out in Westport because my friends go, so I go. Country bars I used to hang out in all the time, so I've heard.
You're putting the work in.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I just can't. I cannot get into it. That's why I said there may be like, you know, 5 or 6 songs that when I hear them, I go, I love that one. I love that Chicken Fried song.
You do? That's the most country.
I love that one.
Something on a something night.
It's cold beer on a Friday night.
Oh, that's the Applebee's song.
A pair of jeans that fit just right.
Yeah, that's it. Like, that one's pretty good.
That's a pair of jeans that aren't too tight.
And what there's a
little tight time.
Because you're going to Applebee's.
There's nothing better than when you put on jeans and they're not too tight.
It's not too tight.
What's the Nelly one that he made the appearance in?
Oh, it's
Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah, and then he had another one with, like, Tim McGraw or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of not too tight, Wheels, we're admiring your sweatshirt.
You like that?
I like it. It fits you very well.
Yeah.
Which is like fitting a big trash can, so that's not
easy. Well, I mean, it's pretty big. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like putting a sweatshirt on a barrel
on R2.
Yes.
Looks good.
I am shaped like R2-D2. That's good.
So I'm out of here today after one segment. I'm going to Bethesda, where I do my hospice work, and Mike Bush from Channel 5 is going to do a little package on NODA, No One Dies Alone. So I'm going to turn the show over to the guys for the day. I do have a topic, though, for this first segment, and this comes from a TikTok. I should play the sound, but I'm lazy. And you could tell it was real. And it is a young lady in college, and her professor is telling her, you're going to get a 0 on this assignment, and I want you to leave my class right now because you cheated and you used ChatGPT because I gave you an assignment to read. It was 300 pages, and you did it in 10 minutes. And she's fighting back. And she's like, look, it's impossible to read 300 pages effectively in the time you're allotting us. So I'm using modern technology that summarized it, and it summarized it so well in the way that my generation needs that I was able to get a great grade on the test. Isn't that what you should care about? Is that the information you wanted me to learn, I learned it. I just learned it in a way you're uncomfortable with. And he was a fairly young professor, and he's like, nope, you need to get out of my class. Cheating is cheating, and using ChatGPT to summarize something is cheating. Do you think that if we watch this video in 10 years, we'll be like, wow, I can't believe that guy?
Maybe, but I do think there's a, and it's almost like the advanced calculators when they became a thing, people were using them. And at first, I remember when I first was doing algebra, you could not use those for tests, that you needed to figure it out on your own. I think they now allow it. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, we couldn't use calculators
at all. We could use them for a certain
only once
advanced
got,
in high school. I'm talking like
for
the ones,
physics and things like that.
The graph calculators. You know, they would like actually have the image.
Sine, cosine, and tangent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We couldn't use graph calculators. We could do sine, cosine, and tangent.
You could be speaking Chinese right now.
Yeah. So we could do all that stuff. I wonder if it'll be looked at similarly to that. But I just feel like the reason you're asked to do it the way you're asked to do it is so that you learn a process and you learn some
exactly.
problem solving. And that you do take in a lot of information and figure out on your own how to consolidate it or how to pull the important parts from it. That's all part of problem solving. And I do think that artificial intelligence will help. You know, when you get to a job and they are asking you to do a lot of busy work and you might end up spending way too much time on just this little task that would be so much easier if you could just have some AI help you out. That's valuable. But learning problem solving and learning how to take information and find what's important from that information is a valuable skill that I think will probably get lost.
And yeah, no, I agree. It's about process. It's learning how to learn, learning how to problem solve, learning how to focus. And maybe it's impossible for that kid to read 300 pages because they were never expected to. The Atlantic had a huge article about the elite Ivy League school students who can't read a book. They just think it's way too much. Like, this is impossible. Nobody can read a book. I remember when I was taking college classes, like, years ago, we were assigned so much reading, like, my corneas swelled. Like, but, you're able to read. You're able to summarize. So, yes, everything Ranj said, it's about the process. It's about activating different parts of your brain, which is scientifically proven that when you read something and transcribe by hand other things or take notes, all these different parts of your brain light up that don't light up when you copy and paste. So some of it's building that muscle. Another thing, something that we have a lot of tech experts are warning about, is artificial intelligence is not really intelligence. It's reading everything that's out there and it's summarizing, and it can be wrong because it can start to summarize misinformation. Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't know. So if you don't have the ability to go back and check and read on your own, now you're just trusting some machine. And so I'm so against, yes, not having the ability to read in school. If you're in PR or marketing and you got to make a deck that's all corporate speak, sure, use ChatGPT. You've gotten there. You're at that point. But if you're in school where you're learning and it's about the process, you need to do the process.
Well, did the student write the paper herself, or did ChatGPT write the paper?
No, what it appears to be is a reading assignment and a quiz. And
she
had ChatGPT summarize it, and she read the summary, and she took the quiz and did well.
So our version of that back in the day was Cliff's Notes.
Which you weren't allowed to do.
No, right, exactly. You were always told no. Mm-hmm. And the idea here is this. If you can't read a 300-page book, because if they're giving you that, they're giving you probably at least a week, if not more, to read that. Normally, when you get an assignment of that magnitude, you'd get a couple of weeks to do it. If you can't read a 300-page book in 2 weeks, then you should not be in college.
Mm-hmm.
You should just stop and go do something else that you can do. Because I can promise you, all of these schools, I'm sure they have policies about using AI, using ChatGPT, and that using it is probably considered cheating. I don't know for sure, but I would imagine that they have to have a policy on it by now. And it's one thing if it's, like you guys said, I think like the idea if it's busy work, that's one thing,
mm-hmm,
right?
Right, right.
If it's busy work. But, you know, the use of a calculator only helps you if you know how to do the equation. You can't, it doesn't tell you which equation to use or what order to put them in, or how you still have to know how to execute the equation that you're being asked to execute. Mm-hmm. You need to know the formula. So you can't just say, well, the calculator's going to do it for me. There's a difference between getting something that speeds up the process and something that does it for you.
You know, I would love to, and it's impossible, it won't happen, but I would love to be around in 100 years just to see how dumb we get.
I think just watch Idiocracy. Watch Idiocracy tonight.
I wonder, you know, I know that's such an extreme example of how stupid we can be, but...
Yeah.
That's why I'm glad I'm not going to be around.
200 years be that stupid? I just want to come back and observe.
What if we're really dumb, though, but we're really happy?
That's fine.
I'd
like all the big problems are fine. But you won't know any different.
Yeah.
I'd rather be miserable and know how to read.
Yeah, you won't know any different. What if everybody's dumb, but AI has solved all of the major problems in the world and nobody's starving and... You know, we have cures for most common diseases, and you're just stupid and happy.
I know we're kind of kidding around, but it's an absolute possibility. Sort of like Wall-E, right? I mean, once they solve your problems, and you're just floating around getting chubby on the little hovercrafts. I mean, that could happen. Oh. That you have an upper class who are programming all the AI, and then you have the rest of us who are like, well, I guess I got nothing to do.
I will say, if it goes that route, that you're definitely putting yourself in a subservient role in society.
And then
you will have masters in that way, whether it's looked on that way or not. You're not in control of anything. But do you care if you're just happy? If your needs are met and you can have fun and you have friends, do you care?
The National Archives is looking for people who can read cursive because so few people can. And founding documents are in
foreign
cursive.
Foreign language.
Yeah, just... It makes me... And I think probably it's extra personal because, you know, a writer, I taught literature, writing is my love, reading is my love, literature, the empathy, the stories, the dialogue, the nuance in literature, and it literally makes my heart break when I see kids who don't have these skills, and they know I don't need them. I got ChatGPT, I can get through college. I've talked to seniors in high school who've never read a book, and it blows my mind. I'm like, how have you never read a book? Well, you don't need to, because you teachers can do excerpts, or you go online and you get the summary, or ChatGPT, and it just breaks my heart.
Rach, how's it hit you?
I mean, I pretty much agree with what everyone's saying. I feel like if it was fair to say, like, well, it summarizes it for me, then there would be no point to learning anything because you would just memorize whatever the quiz would be. Generally, whenever you're quizzed on something, you're quizzed on just maybe 30% of what you actually went over in your notes and stuff, right? Like, you have to learn more than you're actually being tested on. There's a reason for that. Otherwise, it would just be like, hey, here's a bunch of multiple choice. Just memorize this and regurgitate it back to me later.
It reminds me of law school. In law school, like from day one, they're giving you cases, usually three a day, and you have to read the case and then you have to brief it, which is, I'll get this wrong, but basically like statement of facts, the holding of the case, the analysis, what the law is. And then you are, at least in the old days, grilled by the professor using the Socratic method. Now my understanding is every case out there through AI has been like summarized. Mm-hmm. Or the professor could have done it for us back in the 90s and said, here's the correct summary of the case, let's talk about it. But they made us do the heavy lifting for the reasons you guys are saying. So that we could then know how to brief a case as opposed to just taking the brief and analyzing.
I just want to say real quick, if the kids are in high school and college and they can't read a 300-page book, that's on parents. You need to make your kids do the work. Don't let them just get away with stuff. And if you don't know, you got to find out. I mean, like, because it's not the kids' fault that they've learned how to get away with things because they're getting away with it.
I think we have the sound. Andrew got it for us.
You're going to get a zero, and I want you to leave and get out of my classroom.
Are you kidding?
No. Miss Burns, how did you get done with this assignment in Camden says 10 minutes? I'm not doing this. What are you doing? Because let's see what's going on here.
This literally can't be even legal.
What is this?
Dude, you gave us 337 pages of your textbook to read.
You're using a cheating tool in my classroom.
All I did was extract the information. Look, it has a Q&A and it answers only using what I upload. So I finished the assignment, in 10 minutes. But I understood the entire reading because I asked questions.
But you didn't read it yourself, so you're cheating.
I fully understand it. I just had it read it for me.
Okay,
And then give me the information the way I needed to be taught.
You didn't read it yourself. You're going to get a zero, and I want you to leave and get out of my classroom.
Are you kidding?
No.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So it was 337 pages in how long?
And she did it in 10 minutes.
Well, no, but
I think it was a 337-page textbook.
Right, that you have to read.
Yeah, I don't think she had to read it today.
Yeah.
I think
it's just like she made it sound like you gave it to me and I had to read it in an hour.
You gave me this giant book.
Right. Yeah. But I think that's, so what Rachel's talking about is there is a skill in, here's all the material. You're going to have a test on it. 30% of what you read is going to be on the test. There's a skill in knowing what's important that you need to remember.
Mm-hmm. That's so hard. Like a hard skill.
Yes, and that's why you can be good at test taking, because you know what's not important, eliminate that. This is going to be a thing that might be on the test. This might be on the test.
Right.
That is a skill that people need to have.
Look, life, if you want to boil down what adult life is, it's problem solving. It's figuring things out.
Yes.
How do I pay my bills? How do I get this car that I want? You can't do that if you don't know how to take in information and solve problems. You got to learn how.
All right. Have a great show, guys.
Hi, Beckett on DGS. Dave obviously heading out. He's being profiled by Mike Bush for his work with Nobody Dies Alone. So very cool. Glad he gets the opportunity to do that. The rest of us hanging out, doing our thing. So today is the 14th. So I think today officially marks 1 month until Pitchers and Catchers. And I wanted to bring that up for two reasons. One, to remind you guys that we're doing the Gas House Gang every day at noon. Me, Tom, Bernie, Matt, not always all of us, but all of us on Monday, and then we rotate throughout the course of the week. So if you want your Cardinals fix, you can get that, and it'll air at 8 o'clock every night. We don't have
you
a Billikens
basketball game. You should wait until 8 o'clock to listen to it.
Yeah, you should definitely do that. And by the way, podcast anywhere, so that's your plan.
Yeah,
just
listen to it later.
You podcast don't have to listen on the Odyssey app or that, but listen to Ron and Amy live.
Yeah, you have to listen to us live at 12 o'clock. Yeah.
I don't know. The Gas House Gang just sounds better when it's live. I don't know. That's my own opinion.
I've actually heard it. I've heard it later.
I think you really need to hear it.
I think it sounds infinitely better after hours.
I think it sounds great on a podcast.
Oh, sounds so good on a podcast.
Yeah, it's really good on the Odyssey app.
Over your lunch break even, you know.
No, you should do it like after probably 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea. I brought it up, though, because I wanted to get the read of the room. Obviously, we're the Cardinals flagship, so Cardinals season coming up for us has a lot of different meanings, but it's good for business. It's fun. Gives us stuff to talk about every day. I know, Ron, you're a baseball guy. So for you and me,
I quit.
Like, baseball is like sweet. It's like opening day's close. Yeah. You know, it's a good time of year. How about the rest of you guys? Like, what is it? Is pitchers and catchers a month away? Is it just, whatever? Or does it carry anything for you guys? Because I know you're baseball fans, but I'm a big nerd. So, like, to me, it's like the center of my universe.
Yeah. No, right now, because we have snow, I love the snow. So I'm really soaking up winter. I love winter. I would say the minute the snow melts, when I hear pitchers and catchers report, it gets me excited. I love this. I love knowing baseball's on the radio. Like when spring training starts, and that means it's getting closer.
Yeah, I agree. Like, especially being on KMOX, it's just super exciting. Like, looking up, like, what's opening day going to be? Who are they playing?
When do we get our free afternoons off?
I mean, I wasn't going to say you want to bring that up?
You bums, I know what you're thinking.
Early day for us today, no. Huh? Oh, no, we're done at 1:30. Dang it. It's such a bit. The Cardinals are such a big deal. This is also winter warm-up week, which is another reason why I wanted to bring it up. It's going to be really interesting to see how the crowds are at the winter warm-up this week, just given the change in messaging and tone about where the team is going.
We talked to Michael Hall today with Cardinals Care, who said that it's about what
normal?
It was last year. Well, yeah, I mean, similar to last year, but the way those things go is it's always what the level of excitement going into the season is. That's how many tickets get sold. So just like the regular season. And, Cardinals fans, rightfully, are just, skeptical about what's going to happen. I mean, they love baseball, but if there was more of a guarantee that they were going to be competitive in the division, I think you'd get a lot more people. And they might still be competitive in the division.
Sure.
And it's even possible they win it. But I think people are just looking at it like, we'll see what happens. But they've done more subtracting than adding.
Yeah, they haven't done any adding yet. And I don't know if they will. They're definitely still looking to subtract, whether it's Arenado or Steven Matz or somebody else. But I'm fascinated because we know that butts in seats in season is a direct relation of performance. I was wondering if this might be different, where it stays more steady. Because it's still the symbolic beginning of spring. It's right around the corner. It's a holiday weekend. Cardinals fans and the people that go to that, those are diehards. Yeah. Those are not those are not just the angry people on social media, which is a different group of fan. They're significant, they matter, but it's a different group of fans. There are sections of fans. So it'll be fascinating to see, and we'll find out about that coming up later on next week. All right, I have some rulings I want to get from you guys. Mm-hmm. And a story about Friends.
Friends?
Friends, making friends.
The show?
Yeah. Oh. We'll talk about that next up. All right, DGS here on a Tuesday. Dave out for the rest of the show. He's being profiled by Mike Bush to bring attention to Nobody Dies Alone, which is really cool. Looking forward to seeing that package when it comes up on Channel 5. The rest of the gang still here for the rest of this hour. I want to run something by you guys because I think this is fascinating. I saw something we may not see starting next week because I saw it on TikTok, but it was an interesting examination by a psychologist talking about making friends and the difference between making friends when you're kids. And basically by that, they mean high school and younger.
Okay.
Versus when you're an adult. Actually, no, college and younger versus when you're an adult, which they qualified as after college. Mm-hmm. Right. Because all the way through college, you're typically around people your age all the time. You spend a lot of time with those people and you have a lot of the same things going on. Right. You play on the same teams. You're in the same classes. Those kind of things. You're in the dorms and you live down the hall. So it's easy to make friends and keep friends when you're college age and under. And he said it gets way harder as an adult because it's harder to do these three things. So there's three things that I want to see if you guys think this rings true to you. It's three things that have to be there to build a friendship. One of them is proximity. So it has to be people that you see. You can keep touch with friends, but it's a little harder to do that if you're at a distance. The other one is...
This is building like a new friendship.
Or even maintaining them in some cases too. It's both. It's both. Okay. So the things you need to either build or maintain a friendship. One of them is proximity. Another one is time. You have to spend a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is energy. Mm-hmm. What kind of... I mean, like, not are you high energy or low energy, but like... What are your interests? What are you? What are you willing to do? So, if your energy is, I'm a partier, and another person's energy is, I'm a homebody, you're probably not going to be friends, right? So, there's those three things that go in there. I think they all make a lot of sense, right? I mean, when somebody has the same energy as you, you kind of have the same vibe. When you're different, it's not that it's impossible, but it's harder. But I thought it was fascinating that she was pointing out how difficult it is for adults to make friends because. Even in a workplace, you have the proximity, and a lot of times you have the time, but you don't necessarily have the same energy because one person might be 40 years old and another might be 25 and another might be 55, and you're all doing different, your energy's pulling in different directions. You might have a family, I might not, and so on. Does that hit you guys? Because I haven't been around my high school friends in terms of proximity since high school, and I'm still in touch with them. We are still friends, but it's not the same as it was. Right. You're not seeing each other all the time. You're not doing things together because we don't live in the same places. But, you know, the hardest part, I think, is the time part because you have to balance everything else, work, family, and then everybody else has to balance those things as well. I think the time might be the most difficult thing of those things to wrangle when you're an adult.
And I guess I'll just throw this caveat out there. There's also like different kinds of friends.
No, that's what I mean. Right? They mean like close personal friends.
Yeah, okay.
So she tried to define the difference between people you're friendly with.
Yeah.
But then people you spend a lot of time with away from away from work or away from whatever it is you do on a regular basis, day-to-day basis. And it seems like the hardest one of those things to manage would be time, right?
Yeah, I'll throw this out there and you guys this absolutely matches up are my running buddies because we always joke that none of us would ever be friends if we just like ran into each
right,
other.
Right,
it's
right.
A really weird match of people, but it is proximity because we're all in Forest Park every day.
Yep.
It's time because we see each other for hours in the morning almost every day for an hour or 2 hour. And it's energy, meaning even though we have very different personalities, it does take a certain type of personality to love to wake up at 5 and go run. Now, some of them may not be my closest friends. Some may be my closest friends. But overall, they're all friends, and we laugh that what a random group of people, friends because of time, proximity, and energy.
Right. And but I would say that maybe the reason you don't hang out a lot separately from running, if you don't, I mean, maybe you guys do,
some
or maybe
we
it's,
do.
I say maybe it's in pockets, but it's probably that third part. It's where your energy is. It's where not high or low energy, but I've got this other thing going on, and I've got four kids, and I don't have kids, and it's like those things can be the difference. So for me, it's always time, but that's interesting. Yours might be the one that you're talking about might be the third one.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by Amy's friend group, and she's got one, like her closest friend, right, is way more fun than you.
Oh my gosh!
So like her energy is so different than yours.
So her,
but you're like best friends.
We're the yin and the yang. That's Noah. My making a little heart for Noah. Her husband loves when we go out because he knows that when we travel, because Noah, I go on my yearly trip with Noah and we hang out all the time, even outside of running. He knows that when Noah and I hang out, it's like sending Noah out with Sister Mary Clarence because Noah is up for anything and I bring her down.
You rein it
and
in.
She brings me up and he's like, I know that you guys may go to a bar, but you're probably not going to dance on tables and that makes me feel better.
Amy's nickname when she goes out is the wet blanket. I brought the wet blanket.
Does that stuff fit your friend group, generally speaking, Ranch?
Yeah, I think
because you probably have multiple friend groups, right?
Oh yeah,
because I know I do. I've got them.
Oh yeah,
I've got
totally.
Separate. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Totally. And sometimes mixing is weird, right? Sometimes I'm mixing friend groups. Like,
it's pretty much always
weird.
I get
anxiety you mixing friend groups.
Well, why do you get it? Because I have mixed a lot of friend groups that all became started to become really good friends too. And I was like, maybe I just I must know how to bring people together.
Oh yeah, but it's all you.
It's always it's always interesting when that happens. Like when they start doing things like by themselves.
Mm. Oh wow!
Do you ever feel left out?
Not really.
At that point,
I feel pretty good. Like, hey, good. You made a new friend.
All like right. Mary Forged Poppins, who shows up and fixes the house and then
and then flies away. I get my umbrella and I fly away.
Yeah, that's actually interesting because I've never really had that dynamic, Ranj, because I have Michigan friends.
Mm-hmm.
High school, basically, and the people that are around my family. I have Chicago friends because I lived up there for 15 or 16 years. Most of them are the friends group that my wife went to high school with. So it's a big, different group of friends. And then I have my St. Louis friends, and they don't interact. There's almost no crossover.
I feel like sense of humor is one of the biggest, is one of the biggest facets of this, because if you share a particular sense of humor mm-hmm. with other people, they're going to get along quickly.
Good call.
I think I just tend to find people with a similar sense of humor.
So that would be
I
in
have.
The energy category then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but I think it might even be the, if not the most important, it's one of the most important facets of energy is what your sense of humor is. Because think
good
about
point.
What you,
no, seriously,
what you,
that's a good point.
What you do with your friends, yeah, you crack jokes.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people crack jokes a lot
and
of
some
times.
People can't take it or some people don't like and
exactly.
they're probably not going to be a good fit for that.
Right.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I think another important thing with energy is just, you know, having the same expectation of the friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the kind of person, I don't spend a lot of time with my friends. I am busy with work and then I live about an hour away from my family. So a lot of my free time, I go visit my family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily going to like choose to use a Saturday to hang out with friends. I do once in a while, but I need to have a connection with people who understand like, hey, I still love you. We're still cool, but I don't necessarily have the time and energy to do this all the time.
This is true because I don't think I've seen you since two opening days ago.
Other than work.
That's the last time. That's
right,
the last time we've hung out.
Yeah. Well, no, but it's fascinating because as a group, I think we're all really pretty good friends, but we don't end up outside of this a lot.
Well, you live too far. Your proximity
is terrible. I do, but I'm willing to drive. But the problem is I think we spend so much time here that you're like, but and what we do is like hanging out with friends.
Right.
That's we're not at an office where everybody's quiet and you might talk for 10 minutes. I mean, we spend hours laughing, joking, talking, and I think that changes it. It's a cool group and we all are friends, but we're all in different places and have different responsibilities, and it changes the outside of work, but I don't know that it means that it's any less a friend group.
I agree with that. And it's so weird. Andrew and I were just talking about this the other day. And I said to him, I'm like, I feel like an insane person, but I don't have this like burning desire to make new friends right now because I get so much socializing done at work.
Mm.
Like we're always hanging out all the time. And again, like you said, the show is friends talking and hanging out. So like if you're a little bit of an introvert like me, you're that bucket is getting filled every day.
Well, you guys go have lunch before the show starts.
I
had to have breakfast with Amy every day.
Oh my gosh.
It might end the show.
One of us would be dead. Yeah, probably. If we had
she'll be like, let's have breakfast at 5:15.
Yeah. You want to get coffee with me and my friends at 5:30 in the morning?
We're there when they open the doors.
Yeah. Oh, we used to wait outside. We would like look through and be like, are you there yet?
How insane it is to be at the coffee shop before it opens.
It doesn't feel insane because
Amy's like, that's every day.
Insane behavior.
I mean,
we're all quiet because we have multiple times we've gotten to a restaurant before it's open.
Oh, we do it at, because they usually open at 11 and we're standing outside like 5 before. Like,
no, hello.
There's a difference between.
One time I called and I was like, hey, if you guys aren't ready to open yet, can you just come let us in?
Because it was cold. It was the place right down the street, the Venezuelan place. Yeah.
New Venezuelan.
It was cold. Right. Well, that place really good.
Really amazing. The place is excellent. But we went and they weren't ready to open yet. But we were like, can you just come open the door? Because it's really cold out here.
But there is a difference between getting there early for an 11 o'clock start and a 6 a.m. start.
I think you're right.
Well,
it's 5:45. Open the door.
I'm always amazed. I'm like, why do these coffee shops not open till 6? There is an occasional Starbucks that opens at 5:30, which I think is the appropriate time for coffee.
Because
if you wake up and you need to go somewhere, you need to go grab a coffee on the way. And I get it. You can make coffee at home. I do make coffee at home. I just think the 5:30 time sounds like a nice time to have coffee.
Mm.
I will.
5:30 is a great time to be sleeping for another 4 hours.
Wheels have gone to bed.
I know.
I mean, seriously, at 5:30, I've been in bed for 3 hours. That's how long it's been.
Oh, that's not enough sleep,
I sleep enough. I'm good.
That is how I used to live.
Yeah.
Go to bed at like 2 o'clock, 2:30.
Yeah, I've never been able to break it. It's from doing overnight shows from back in the day, but also that's the sports routine.
Yep. Nighttime
when you're doing Cardinals pre and post game, you're not getting home till 12:30. You don't just go right to bed.
That's
you
got
to chill. You got to calm down. You got to let the...
Which is interesting because the sports late night routine sounds awful, but the headlines are never that sports late night guys are losing years of their life. It's always the early morning
shows.
It's
the morning shows.
They really say that takes years off your life.
Did you ever do a morning show, Ron?
Like waking up at 2:30.
I mean, other than
3?
Filling in. I mean, like do
no,
it for a...
No, just filling
dude,
in.
Dude, I did it
I've
for
done
like...
overnights.
I did... Yeah, I liked that. I did overnights for years, for like 3 or 4 years, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I would get home. I would go. You know, I would leave for work when my wife and daughter went to bed for the night. I would get home when my kid was getting up to go to school, and I would get her on the bus, and then I would get out of bed when she got off the bus in the afternoon. And it was really cool. When I did mornings, I was I only did it for 4 months, and it was miserable.
There is a difference between being up until 3 and having to be on until 5.
Oh. I was all right with that.
I hit the wall at like 3:30.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, but it also you didn't do it full time though.
No, right.
Like I mean, I did it every night for years.
It's
you
nuts.
Really get into a groove on. I did. I got into a groove on it. It was really easy. The morning it just ruins everything. As a sports guy, especially because every game is at night. So when you're doing when you're on the air at 5 a.m. Central Time and you had to watch the NBA playoff game last night because it's the NBA Finals and it's in L.A. and the Lakers game starts at 9 p.m. You have to watch it because you have to talk about it. And this is before DVRs. This is before you could just pull up something on your computer, on your laptop while you're getting ready for the show. You had to watch the game and you're like, I got 3 hours of sleep and then I'm going to go home and I'm going to try to sleep for 3 or 4 more hours after the show. And it's just nonsense.
Every morning show host of any kind I've ever talked to has said you never get used to that.
Yep. Mm.
Because you're waking up, you know, depending.
Usually
you're waking up at 2:30.
Yeah.
You know, because
usually you have to be there a couple hours before the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and right. And I think that's insane. It's the middle of the night. But even waking up at 5:30 day after day after day, 7 days a week, it is exhausting, even though you're a morning person, because inevitably you don't go to bed early enough. You don't fall asleep
right.
early enough.
Something comes up.
So that's been one of the things I've been like with my injury that I've been trying to consider like, okay, this is a good thing, is I've been sleeping until 6:30 or 7 every day.
There you go, sleeping until 6:30.
And I told my doctor, I was like, actually, the one thing, you know, I'm trying to sleep. I go, I do feel like a different person. I don't cry quite as much. And and he said, he goes, I wake up at 4:45 to work out, and something happened, and he said he didn't do it for 2 months, and he said he felt like a different person. So, kind of funny.
I feel like he's somehow our doctor, too, because you're much more fun to be around lately.
Am I?
So he's cured my illness.
That's awesome. All right, we're gonna get. I want to get a ruling from the group on something that I have a feeling I know how it's gonna go, but I want to know how you're gonna handle this when we come back.
Oh.
Don't go.
I don't want to run this by the gang. I have a feeling I know that how the action is going to be received by you guys, but I want to know how you're going to handle this. And I saw this on Twitter. So it was a woman writing to get advice, asking what she should do about her mother-in-law, who every time they are out to eat or eating at somebody's home, she says she wants to have some of the food that this woman has on her plate. And she'll say, can I taste that? And without waiting, takes her own fork, goes over, gets the food and eats it. And this woman hates this, right? Which I think we all would. So I think you guys all agree that's right, like not cool.
Ron's just going to start doing that. He loves it. Yeah. Look at his face. He loves it so much.
That is so funny.
But it drives this lady crazy. So how does she? How do you handle this if it's your mother-in-law?
Oh, yeah, stab her.
Yeah, with a fork. I was going to say fork. Stab, too.
When she reaches over, just take your fork and go,
it's awesome.
You
it
love
is
it.
Awesome. It really is. Fun.
This is why we can't get breakfast.
Well, let's put it this way. If I did that to you, how are you reacting?
Well, what the F, Kevin?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
So you're not happy about it?
No, it's awful.
Yeah, okay.
It's funny that it's not happening to me. I think it's what it is.
Yeah. How do you handle it? Do you because she is saying her husband will not say something to his own mother because he doesn't want to offend her.
Oh, that's his.
So if you're her, you got a husband who's being a wiener.
Yep.
How do you handle this?
I'll tell you what you do.
You stab the husband.
Well, you don't stab.
I would. That's a husband problem.
I agree with you.
If your mother-in-law
if
does
you
it,
can't tell
take
your own mom to stop doing
husband.
Something.
Does she do it to her son?
I don't know, but okay. I know it's being done to the daughter-in-law, and she hates it.
I'd say
mother just wants a taste.
maybe she would feel shame if. When the food arrives at the table, this woman just picked up her own plate and shoveled some onto her mom's plate. They go, here you go. Here you go. I know you're going to ask, so here you go.
All right, so your strategy is preemptive action to send a message.
And then she'll say, well, why did you do that? And then she'll have to think about what she's been doing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that's a great one. Or every time, like the next time she does that, just go, oh, man, I meant to tell you I was violently ill last night.
How'd you handle that, Rach?
I would probably just be like, I didn't say, I mean, okay, I'm full of it because I would not be that direct.
No, you'd let it happen.
I would let it happen.
Yes, you would.
You're 100% correct. You want some more? Here you go.
Here's my plate.
I'm the wrong person to ask.
Andrew?
I would say something. I would.
At least eventually, right? Well, like, maybe not the first or second time, you know? You're just like, all right, whatever. That's
no,
weird.
I think I would say, what the hell's wrong?
Even the first time?
Like, if it was my own parents, obviously I would, because I say things like that to my parents all the time because they do things that make me go, what the hell's wrong with you?
I do the same sometimes, all right?
But yeah, my in-laws, yeah. There's a lot wrong with them, too. So I'm not afraid to go, what the hell's wrong with you? Don't put your fork in there.
Or you could do this. You could ask to taste some of hers, but then
and just do the same thing.
Use your fingers.
Oh, yeah, but just do the same thing, too. Don't wait. Like, because the point is that she doesn't wait. She just says, can I have some? And goes in.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, because if somebody does that and you're like, here, sure, I'll cut you a piece and here you go. That's normal, right? There's nothing weird. If they don't like that, you can just say, hey, I don't want to do that.
Well, it's like when a person steals a fry. Here's what I would do. You reach across, you grab some of her food, but you make sure you touch some of her other food that you're not going
to take
in the process, like just rub your hand across it.
Yeah.
And then maybe she won't.
What
do
if
it
you,
again.
As soon as they set your food down, you fake sneeze on it, the whole plate?
Oh, I mean, you could do that. Like
you could,
you know, preemptively.
I got to
see, but
I,
what is funny is the you have two paths. You're direct or you're trying to be subtle and you're trying to send a message. I like Ranji's angles on a lot because they're funny. And you're trying to send the message while also you're going to make yourself chuckle because you're going to do these things.
Yeah.
I feel like it's okay to just say things directly to people. Like, it's okay. And if that interaction ruins the relationship, then that person, the other person, was going to ruin the relationship anyway. If that one, hey, please don't do that, ruins things, that person was going to ruin it anyway.
I don't know.
I think this is a husband problem.
I totally agree.
I think she should get a divorce.
Absolutely.
Get a divorce.
Yeah, I think she should stab her husband with a fork.
If you can't do something about your mother, we're divorcing.
It could be a major red flag.
And I'm taking half
of her dinner
food and your money.
Oh.